Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone.
Back in on a Thursday along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler. JT Noah producing today.
Bobby, JT, did you know this song before you started working with us?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
All right.
Because I remember him telling us his dad made him say, go listen to music from the 90s.
I was more like AC/DC stuff I didn't know. I was like, okay. But yeah, I knew this one because we would play it every time we would win a football game in high school.
Okay.
So wow. It'd be like another one bites to dust.
Yeah. Yes. Then did you play We Are the Champions when you won the championship? Which the song obviously fits, you know, yeah. But my God, every time somebody wins, yeah. They immediately go to that, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No one's beat it. It's like the butt fumble.
It is, yeah.
Championship songs.
It is.
Funny story, we only won like four games and throughout my whole high school career.
I don't even know that we won that many.
But you played the song every time.
Exactly.
Because why not? Because why not? All right, you threw out a couple of scenarios earlier, which got people discussing. You and I differ on this one for sure.
Yeah.
But.
And that's okay. We're not getting divorced, are we?
The crystal ball of sports, if we had all the answers, we'd be Jonte Porter. I don't know.
Right.
We'd put our money behind it.
Yeah, God, if we had all the answers, Jonte Porter. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Dope. But you had two options, door number one, door number two, involving the Royals.
Yeah, there was an old game show called Let's Make a Deal, and Monty Hall was the host, and they would come out and they say, do you want behind door number one, or do you want to go behind door number two?
It was so hard to say door two.
Right.
Or door to door, I'm sorry, so hard to say door one, because you're like, I don't know, there could be something better.
Yeah. Like door one, they would present to you like a new, like lime green kitchenette. You know, everybody had that green,
a new stove.
Yeah. Right. Oh, wow. A new stove.
Range.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you could take that knowing what it was.
Correct.
Or you could say, I'll take behind door number two and pass. Now, behind door number two, there could be cash, there could be a better prize, or there could be a box of nothing, right? Which is a lot of the times what happened. Behind door number two, you were risking what you had to take a chance, but that chance could be a box of nothing. So what I'm posing to you today is I've got door number one and door number two related to the Royals. They're in a good spot right now. 500. The city's excited for them. You know, they could have voted a new stadium in a couple of weeks that they've been playing this good. You know, the whole nine yards, right? But here we
sit. I do love that question, too, by the way. Sidebar.
Yeah.
Because I've been asked that, too. Well, do you think if the vote was 2 weeks later, they'd go? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sure people would still complain.
You get a few more that had to say they had to play winning baseball for our vote for a stadium. You might get a few of those people.
Right, but I don't think
but
it
I don't know. I think there were too many other issues to get that thing through.
Like one team has already had 1 foot across the state line. The other is like, yeah, well, okay, we'll try to get somewhere else. But anyway, so here's door number one for the Royals. Okay, right now, I can give you the Royals achieving over the next 20 years what Carl Peterson accomplished with the Chiefs in his 20 years running the Kansas City Chiefs. 15 of his winning seasons out of 20 were winning seasons. He had a 55% winning percentage, 9 years in the postseason, 13 years finishing in first or second place. They led the league in attendance. They created a FOMO atmosphere every single Sunday. And you can do that at Kauffman Stadium. Or I can give you what's behind door number two, and that's take your chances and see what happens. And as we talked about, Whitey Herzog has the highest winning percentage in Royals history as a manager at 547. No one's come close other than Dick Houser. He was 504. So are you going to take the 20 years of Royals baseball to deliver exactly what Carl Peterson delivered? Or are you taking door number two, where you're just blindly taking the next 20 years and anything can happen? It could be like the last 10, could be like 14 and 15, could be like the 10 previous to that. You don't know what you're going to get behind door number two. So you're taking your chances of the known success, not getting a championship, but having 20 years of really fun baseball. Or are you taking your chances with door number two?
Carl Peterson didn't even deliver an AFC championship, let alone a Super Bowl championship.
Right. Why are you taking shots at Carl? He's 80-something now.
It's not even a shot at Carl, but I'm just saying the Carl thing was nice.
Yeah.
But you know what's been nicer? Three of the last four seasons.
What would you have said if I asked you this question in 2018?
Might have been a different answer.
Might have been a different answer.
It might have been. But I love me some championships right about now.
Sure.
These are fun.
Mm-hmm.
These are fun.
Right.
And I liked 14 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That door number one scenario I just can't do because I want a shot at a title.
Gotcha. And I understand that.
I want a shot at a title. Might not get it.
Mm-hmm.
And might get some years of irrelevant baseball like last year. But.
And many before.
There's a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now off to this nice start. And I like this team. I like where they're heading.
Right.
Okay. Give me more of that. I want some chances for there to be something at the end,
mm-hmm.
rather than a ride through. So I'm all about door
number
two.
You're rolling the dice, huh?
Yep.
You're rolling the dice
on
this one.
I'm rolling door number two.
All right. See, I'm rolling door number one because I love what's going on right now. I know it's not even April 19th yet, right? We're still at the 18th of April, and we'll get into why that date's significant later on in the show. But what we're looking at right now is a team that is winning. They're five games over 500, and I am hook, line, and sinker into this. All you need was a little. And I think that's where Kansas City is with baseball in general, Josh. Regardless of these scenarios, they're 12-7 right now. Everybody's in and talking about the Royals, right? Like, people are genuinely excited about where this baseball team is right now. It may not turn into a championship, but if we can have 20 years of great, relevant baseball, may not, you know, culminate in a championship, but every year you believe you have a chance like you did in those 90s and 2000s with Carl Peterson. Every year you thought you had a chance to win a championship. I kind of like that feeling right now. And that's why I would be willing to say, well, if we go 20 years and have just really successful, fun baseball and every season you think you got a chance to win, I'm good with that because I know what the flip side is. And door number two could be the last 10 years or the 10 years prior to 14 and 15, you know?
Yep.
JT, where are you on this one?
So I might get a lot of hate for this, but if this was, say, the Chiefs, I would obviously take door number two.
Sure.
But with the Royals, I take door number one just because I think them being irrelevant and playing competitive is great for the city. We obviously love championships here, but like if they're just irrelevant and they're playing well and they're doing decent things, then I think the city's got a buzz throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
If you have irrelevant like you did last year, I came in as an intern, and all we did was try to find ways to get over water because the Royals, we couldn't make stories, and we just kept talking about the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it brings better for the city if we do door number one.
Okay.
That's good reasoning. Yeah.
That's fair.
So text line, it's open to you.
It does. You're right. It raises the – I mean, I was grouchy last summer. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you're a lot less grouchy now.
I was like sports grouchy last summer because the Royals stunk, and I didn't want to – I vehemently did not want to pay attention to them.
And I
battled the it's okay versus, but I'd rather have them playing well.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I tuned them out. It was better for me. It was
great. You lost a whole year of baseball last year, too.
Yeah.
You didn't watch anything baseball related. You don't even know who won the World Series.
Just out.
And that's okay. I don't have a problem with
that. I know
that.
It was the Texas Rangers, but like a week ago.
They won the World Series last year?
I think so, right?
They spent still
all
have
the money,
a team?
They spent all the money and won, finally,
oh,
didn't they?
I don't know.
Isn't that true?
I didn't watch baseball last year. Didn't the Yankees win last year?
No.
Oh.
I do know that.
Huh.
Yeah, two actually low market teams were in the World Series. Crazy.
Yeah, they say low market teams, right? And in baseball terms, Texas and Arizona are like, quote, it's unquote, ridiculous. It's not New
Texas
York.
Texas spends so much money.
Yeah, Texas just has oodles of cash.
And has so
and
much
it's
money.
Dallas, which is like top four market. Yeah. And then you got Phoenix, which is like top five market, you know. So, but for baseball terms, we look at those and like, look at these small market teams. Hang on a second here. It's Arizona and it's Dallas.
And then I look back at those Chiefs years and I go, yeah, but I always wanted to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm. But every year, those, September rolled around, you were gung-ho and you were ready to go.
You did believe in all those things, but I just really, really, really wanted to get over the hump. And yeah. I think I want to have that ability to do so when the opportunity is there. And it may cost you some other seasons where it's not.
Right.
But I need to get over the hump.
Right.
Imagine what we would have been without 14 and 15. How miserable
would
it be? Oh,
it'd be terrible.
Even if you're competitive, then you're demanding more and blah, blah, blah.
And I think from our aspect, though, for what we do for a living, having a team like Carl put on the field, so much fodder, so much ability to talk, so much ability to complain. People get fired up. People are upset. People are happy, you know, because there's always so much that you can do to get better. Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they adding a pitcher at the deadline? You know, like all of that kind of fun stuff that we really only had the opportunity to do for like a year.
But I don't want to be the A's.
Yeah. Well, they're moving to Sacramento.
Well, definitely don't want to do that. But but remember the A's and Billy Ball? And they had all never won anything.
But there was a point in time where I did want to be the A's and I did want to be the Rays.
And the Rays, who by their own fault.
Yeah. Well, they didn't win a World Series because of what they did. They won it because they got a stooge as a manager.
That one big, big, big mistake.
Who the hell was the bench coach? That guy could have stopped him.
They probably would have won.
Why didn't you tackle that manager when he was going to take Blake Snell out of that game?
Should have left him.
Could you imagine if he was going out to take him out of the game and Q comes running out of the dugout and tackled him and didn't? That would be fantastic.
That'd
be the greatest thing ever.
Cowboy fan. No thanks.
Those poor saps believe every year, though, that they got a chance.
Bills
and
fan.
They get excited.
Bills fan.
The Bills had that walking malaise of nothing, though, for 20 years. You know, they can identify with us.
Four near misses and then nothing. And now you look like you're further away.
Yeah, you're not close anymore.
I don't want that. I want a chance to win.
You want but Carl gave you a chance to win.
You're giving me the door, which I know the outcome is no winning. I'm not taking. That's why I'm not taking it.
Would you consider the Gunther Cunningham years the same as the Mike Matheny years? Because I think Ned is pretty much Marty, right? And then you had
Ned close the deal.
Yeah, you're right. Ned did close the deal. But if you're looking at Carl terms, like Ned would be like the long-term guy that came in, steadied the ship, and blah, blah, blah. So Ned would be Marty. And then I think Matheny would be kind of Gunther, the years you want to forget. And then Q, maybe Vermeil.
I could take a bunch of managers and throw in that, but yeah.
Well, just recently, like Matheny was right after Ned.
Ned, he would bear the brunt of that one.
It could be others you could put in there, Tony Pena and whatnot, but no, the Matheny years are not going to be memorable at all.
What we have with Buddy, the man is
obsessed with losing. That was the president of the ball club.
Yes.
With Buddy, we got a guy who's obsessed with losing.
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he doesn't like to lose.
Yeah. No, I don't want to get kicked at the end for years and years and years. So that's why titles.
Is Q our Andy Reid? My challenge
would be to not be hit it and quit it. And we're on the road, hopefully, to something that can be more sustainable. Hopefully, this is the jumping off point of something that be at least somewhat sustainable,
right?
In baseball terms, and not be the. I mean, football, I know, is not the greatest example because you can flip it so fast, so you're always kind of having a chance. But I mean, we mock the Cowboys because they're kind of in it every year, but they're not going to close.
No, we know they're not going to close,
and so. They've had those seasons. They've had a bunch of those seasons where they're like, oh, maybe this is the time, and they never close. That would be miserable. That would be miserable. Been there. It's miserable.
The thing that's different, though, is Cowboy fans know they're not going to close. They just don't know when that's going to happen. Like, when Carl was here, we always thought we were going to win that Super Bowl.
You don't think Cowboys believe that, too? I don't think Cowboys are naive enough to
you don't think so anymore?
No, to think they're not really going to win.
No. I would think at this point in time, they kind of know.
This is the time.
I would think at this point, they're like, we know.
Major creeper alert.
What was this?
Greg Doyle, who was once on the path to being like national hot take guy.
Right.
when he was with CBS. Remember, he was kind of nice little fly in the ointment out there.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of the early pokey in the ribs people.
Yeah.
It was kind of on a track to be.
And then he decided he wanted to stay home, which is fine.
And then he went back and became the columnist at the Indianapolis Star, and he's been there for, I don't know, that's probably a number of years now. But he was kind of on a guy that was on a really national uptick, mm-hmm. and then wanted to get back to real writing or right. something, you know, one of those journalistic things. Shows up at a Indiana Fever press conference. Caitlin Clark is there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the Indiana Fever is thrilled. They got the paper covering them. They got this columnist that's paying attention to their sport.
Right.
And then it gets super awkward.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like yeah, that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll get along just fine. So, question is.
So he flashes her the heart hand. Heart hand.
Yeah.
She would flash to her family after games, Caitlin mm-hmm. Clark.
And right.
Then he gets creepy. I'm happy to have you here. Mm. The hell was that? He later apologized. Hopefully he knows why.
I would hope.
But he creepily shows up at a news conference and does that.
Right. So here's the thing. Years ago, okay, in sports, people were concerned about women reporters covering the men's locker room. Remember that? Oh, my God, women covering the men's locker room, right? And it was like Gail Gardner and Leslie Visser were some of the early pioneers of women covering men's professional sports. And there's never been anything. No incidents that people were afraid of and all that nonsense Neanderthal type speak. Here we sit in 2024. I'm more concerned with a man covering a woman's sport than I ever yeah. was at women yeah. being in the men's locker room.
Yeah.
That's just creepy. Luckily, and if I'm Caitlin Clark, I'm like, I don't want this
luckily
guy.
Luckily, their right. locker rooms are closed.
Yeah.
WNBA's locker rooms are closed, which might be the best idea.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's just creepy. What is he trying to do?
I don't know. He tweeted, today, in my uniquely oafish way, while welcoming Caitlin Clark to Indy, I formed my hands into her signature heart. My comment afterward was clumsy and awkward. I sincerely apologize. Please know my heart, literally and figuratively, was well-intentioned. I will do better.
What are you doing to begin with?
I don't know. And her reaction was like, appropriate, was appropriate. Like, this is uncomfortable and awkward.
And it was.
What are you doing?
If you do that to me, we'd be great.
How about welcome to Indy? Leave it at that.
Have you tried the shrimp cocktail at St.
Yeah.
Elmo's?
Yeah. Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Let's go.
Exactly.
Right? Don't get creepy.
Yeah.
Again, we were worried about women covering men, and then you got this caveman doing what he did? That's just disgusting.
Yeah.
Just disgusting.
Speaking of Caitlin Clark, better draft night jersey sales than any NFL player.
Wow.
Fanatics says that her Indiana Fever jersey sold more on draft night than any player in any sport in the company's history.
That's outstanding. Wow.
So how all cool of is you that? Buying the first round pick of your NFL team
right
on draft night. Not even close to what Caitlin Clark sold on draft night.
Right.
Did you guys, though, see, like, once they sold out on Fanatics about their jerseys, they were like, oh, yeah, you won't, if you didn't get one in the first batch, you're not getting one till November,
yeah,
I think
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just lovely.
Yeah. Like, it'll be here in time for Christmas.
Look at us.
Right.
Good luck. There's a jersey available if you'd like it, but jerseys, well, you know.
Is it better quality than these MLB?
Fanatics has got some, you know, MLB jerseys to reprint, so they're probably a little bit busy right now.
Right.
She outsold more than anybody on draft night.
Yep.
NFL player, NBA player, whatever. And we talk about jersey sales all the time in the NFL being, you know, ridiculous.
Right.
And how many Caleb Williams jerseys will probably go out on draft night, right?
Yep.
When the Bears select him.
Correct.
Won't touch Caitlin Clark.
Won't touch hers. Nope. That's outstanding. What? That's so good, man. It's so cool to see that. I hope they're able to capture that momentum and really take it to the next level. I hope it's not just something that for a couple of weeks people get excited about, and then if the Fever lose some games, people start to lose interest. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Keep this train rolling. Keep this thing moving in the right direction. She's great for the WNBA.
So welcome to Indy, Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. And have you tried the shrimp cocktail?
Right.
That's where you go. Is it a want or a need? We'll discuss next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. So is it a want or is it a need? And talking about wide receiver. And I hate that we're doing this every single year now.
Yeah, right?
The Chiefs need to go and get a one. You know how off the handle we flew a few times on that before. But I know Binkley has been pressing wide out, even before the Rashee Rice stuff. Take that, take any potential suspension out. Just don't worry about that at this point. probably going to happen, but not drafting based on that. But is it still a want rather than a need? Or is it a need? Because I can make the case it is a need for the future, but could also help us now. Or is it you're at 32, there's a lot of wide receivers this year, it's being called a very good wide receiver draft.
Right.
This is a great opportunity to satisfy a want at 32.
Yeah.
I don't really know the answer. I still feel like it's more of a want than a need, though.
Yeah.
I think they could play tomorrow with this lineup they have now, like of everybody. In the future, would I like them to beef it up? Yeah. I absolutely would, but I still think it falls in the want category versus the need category.
Right.
What
so I phrase it like this. Is wide receiver a bigger need for the Chiefs or a bigger want for us? And that's kind of how I look at it, right? Because I think
the us being the fan.
Yeah. Is it a bigger need for them or is it a bigger want for us? And I think it's a bigger want for us, the fans, then it is a bigger need, just because I believe I know their line of thinking right now. And we'll hear from Mitch Holthus a little bit later on in the show as we talk to him at 7:30. If you missed it, you can check the Odyssey app. I think it's a bigger want for us than it is a need for them. And the reason I say that is because if they do end up picking 32 and that perfect wide receiver for them or a guy that they really like isn't there, they're not just going to draft a wide receiver just to draft a wide receiver, which is like what we would do, right? Like if we were in that position and, all right, we need a wide receiver. Let's just take the next one available. And I think that always sets you back as an organization. I still think you've got to go out there and take the best player available regardless of the position. And I know that I have the cheat code on offense with Patrick Mahomes. And so if you get the pick 32, and let's just say the second best offensive tackle's on the board, and you clearly need an offensive tackle, and the eighth best wide receiver is on the board, I'm taking the second best offensive tackle, even if the eighth best wide receiver is available at that point in time, because I know that that's the second best tackle out there, and we do have a needed tackle, but you can never, ever, ever have too many good offensive linemen on your roster to protect the franchise. So I think it's a bigger want for us than it is a bigger need for the Chiefs.
But I can also, yeah, make the case that the eighth wide receiver this year, if they think they're really good.
Right.
This this is your year to grab one there. Go ahead and grab one there.
Right.
I won't be mad if they do it. I just still question the want versus need of this whole thing because I don't think they have to do it.
Right.
Does Pat need more resources at some point in time? Yeah.
Sure.
Is it right now? Debatable.
Debatable. Debatable. But also, too.
And I'm not looking at last year and going, well, he did it with that, and just give me whoever out there. I'm not doing that, but I just don't think that you still have Kelce. You have what emerged last year in Rashee Rice.
Right.
Again.
2,000-yard receivers. Again,
they haven't given up on Kadarius Toney.
Right.
They haven't given up on Sky Moore.
Right. So here's the thing. If we look at the offense really through a microscope almost, and I know I'm going to channel my inner Dick Vermeil here for a second. If you take away the drops, but honestly, if these guys catch the football, this offense hadn't missed a beat. That just didn't miss a beat.
That's what Brett Veach told us that after the Super Bowl. Remember? He kind of did that game as well. He's
right.
Like, if we catch the ball, like,
right,
our numbers are exactly where they have been.
Exactly where they were.
In terms of total offense.
And we're not complaining about the wide receivers. We're not complaining about the offense. We're talking about, hey, look, did you see Kadarius Toney emerge? Did you see Sky Moore emerge? Now, they didn't catch the ball. And maybe this year going to pack camp and maybe they do some like hand exercises or something to strengthen their fingers. I don't know. They catch the football. Maybe Pat takes a little zip off the ball. Maybe these guys aren't capable like a Travis Kelce and a Tyreek Hill where he could fire the ball anywhere and they catch it. Maybe
he's throw it and catch it too.
Yeah, but maybe he takes a little zip off the ball. I don't know. But the point of the matter is it wasn't like these guys weren't getting open. They didn't make the plays. They didn't make the plays because they didn't do the simple thing, and that's catch the ball. They did the hard thing. They got open, And Pat got him the ball. They just didn't catch the ball. And that's a refocus of watching the ball into your hands, making sure you catch the football before you try to run with it. But they led the league in drop passes last year. The talent's there. They've got to find a way to realize that talent. And that's why I don't think it's as big as a need for the Chiefs as it is a want for us. Because when I look at the wide receivers, I see good players. I just need to see those players take the next step. If they don't take that next step, obviously we got some issues and we need to figure it out. But I don't think the Chiefs are to that point yet where they're ready to get rid of Sky Moore, where they're ready to get rid of Kadarius Toney, whether we like it or not, right? I think that's where the, I don't want to say
want,
it's a,
need.
The want need, but also the difference in perception is right now, what the organization perceives that they have versus what we perceive that they have. And they perceive they're in a much better spot than we perceive they're at.
I believe so. I believe so. That's a fair assessment.
We may not like that, and that's fair, but that's just the reality of it, right?
You and I might have line item vetoed the whole room.
Right.
They didn't. I kept telling you about Toney. I'm like, just keep it. He's not gone.
Right.
He's still there. Some of you may not believe it, but he's still there. Look, I'm in the camp of I'm not putting any expectations on the guy. If he's there, he's there, and hopefully they can use him well. I'm just not going to fall into the trap of it. Right. Sky Moore's a draft pick. He's still relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Now you kind of have decision time coming on him. You have to probably figure out what.
Well, this is the big year for Sky Moore.
What he is or isn't.
You don't want to pick up that fourth year option
for the for the future, but you know that there's still time to make that decision too.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. There's plenty of time with Sky Moore, but he can come back and have a really good year. Just because you had a bad year last year doesn't mean you have to have a bad year now. People are allowed to get better, right?
Usually, sometimes, kind of.
I love the people who get so mad. You think where Pat wants to be when he comes back, Bob, stop taking zip off the ball. Sometimes you got to adjust your game to the talent you have.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
And you bought yourself, you may have bought yourself a year or two with Hollywood Brown. Right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
To a certain extent. So
because you wanted him to go out and get a wide receiver, they did. And you're like, well, it's still not enough.
Yeah. Well,
maybe it's not. I don't know.
We'll hear from Mitch coming up after 9 o'clock. He joined us again earlier in the show. And I mean, he named some corners that when he first asked about the draft, he named some corners. I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Because the 620 says, what's the Chiefs need then? I think it's left tackle. That's just me. The more I think about it, the more I ponder it, the more I look at it, the more I analyze it. Hearing from Andy the other day about Wanya Morris, well, I don't know. He's going to go out there and earn it.
He did not give Wanya Morris the job.
No. Or a ringing endorsement for that matter.
He basically said, you got to go get better. We sent him out. We sent him out with the task of
getting better. Yeah.
You need to improve and come back and show us. Right. The job's not handed his any way, shape, or form.
Right.
I don't even know if that to me is a resounding need. If he does all those things, and we're like, okay, well, this is what we asked you to do, and you came back and did it.
Yeah, but for
maybe they're good, but it was not a. Well, no, he's got the job, and we're not looking at linemen.
Right, but what he's asking right now, where I sit today in the middle of April, what's the Chiefs' biggest need? As I'm looking
offensive
at
line,
it, it is offensive line. Yeah, yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah,
but again, I could play games tomorrow, and that'd be great.
Absolutely, you could play games. So I'd like a cornerback. I'd like an offensive lineman.
But I could play games with corners tomorrow.
Right.
Who fills who? McDuffie goes to Snead's role. I don't care. Shamari Connor, step on up. You play. Right. You play McDuffie's role. Jalen Watson, you play McDuffie's role.
Right.
Joshua Williams, you play McDuffie's role. Whatever. Mm-hmm. The hierarchy just slides up a spot, and I can play tomorrow.
Right.
So I don't have to do anything.
No, really. I mean, this team is
corner.
Set. But you
defensive
like to get better.
Line. I'm set. Damn near re-signed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We forgot Pinnell, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Mike Pinnell's
Pinnell,
back.
Pinnell,
yeah.
Nadi, Dana.
Dana. Jones.
Are all
okay,
back.
Okay, I'll take that.
Karloftis. Felix.
Yeah.
Welcome to the party. Get yourself in the mix.
Right. Let's go. Let's do this.
Get yourself in the rotation next year. Okay, I'm good there. You brought back Tranquil.
Right.
Okay. Bolton, Tranquil. See ya.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I could play tomorrow. No problem.
Right. You'd like to get better at some positions, but if I had to play today, I'll take my chances against anybody else in the league right now. But if you're asking me what the biggest need is, I'm always going to be, unless the offensive line is solidified, I'm an offensive line guy. I need a left tackle, and I'm starting to think I may need a center too.
But if I'm at 32, and what Binkley has told us, and I lean to Binkley on this, like, left tackle is going to be gone by then.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. Well, I need a left tackle. I don't really need a right tackle. Maybe. I don't need some of the projects that could move.
No. I don't need anything like that. No.
Do I have a guy competing or starting day one at left tackle at that at 32? Grab him.
Grab him. Get him. Let's go. Yeah. And Bankley's in tomorrow, so we'll talk more about that.
But I don't know that that's going to be there, and so I would move it a little further down my list because I'm thinking you do something a little bit later at offensive line. And you got to prepare for the future of Tooney.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're going to do, it's center and guard.
Right.
Those aren't givens.
Right. Nope.
That you're going to re-sign both, one or both. And so you're always preparing for the future. So, offensive line any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for a day one guy plugging into your lineup, fine. Take a pick and see. Because they don't need a guy that
guy to plug into their lineup.
I don't think.
I don't think so either.
We'll hear more from Mitch Holtis and why today's a big anniversary next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.